Good afternoon, Peter.
Hey Michelle, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thank you. And you?
Doing fine, thank you.
All right.
Hello, Tim. I see Matt is out and about. You going to give us a grove tour? Hey, Mark. Lisa,
Yes.
how are you today?
I'm good. Thank you. Who
Good to
was?
have you with us.
Thank you. Thank you. Again, Danielle turned me on to the group and I'll be listening,
All right.
learning and listening. Okay.
Sounds good.
Thanks.
Oh man, I love Thank you for doing this. Oh, you're welcome, buddy. I got one more if I found Mary Sims, but I don't want to put hers out. And I'm just closing this. I'm doing a Zoom at 2 o'clock. It's not participating, I'm just listening to it. I'll be doing those too.
Okay. So you're
Tim, what's the COVID situation out there in Riverside? What's the COVID? Yeah, how are things going out there?
It's, things are opening up. Well, they're beginning to open up. And this last weekend, some of the, you know, the beaches were more open and that, but people are pretty much still wearing masks all the time. And it's not like a lot of other places, so.
Right.
But if the weather warming up out here like it's been, it'll get, you know, it's gonna get crazy because weekends at the beach are gonna be like Florida. What can I say?
Yeah, true enough.
Things are opening up slow but sure. Able to get out and get some golf, which is nice. So that's an easy social distancing.
Sure. Okay. I'm just jotting down some names and then we'll get started here in just a second.
Yeah.
Come here. Yeah. Garfield.
All right. This is Peter Chairs. For those of you who are not on video, I am going to read off a list of names that I have so far on the call. And if I miss you, let me know. I just want to have a good record of who's participating today. I have Mark Worthy, Jason Gilbert. I have a Lauren, but I don't have a last name. Lauren, what's your last name? All right, we'll catch up on that. I have Michelle Salen, I have Jake Price. We have Jim Williams joining us from California. Let's see, who else? I see Danielle is with us. Mark Reitnauer. Got Lisa Strange, Fernando Alvarez, John Beckmar, Stephen Callahan, Paul Kukas, Joe Franklin, Justin Martin, Tom Bolton, Tim Riley, Ed Stover, Daniel Hunt, and Ben Rawson. Who did I miss? Oh, I see Joshua's.
Tater, IMG Citrus.
Say that one more time. Sorry, I was talking over you.
Peter, it's Scott Kerr with IMG City.
Oh, hey, Scott. Glad you could join us. All right, and I see an Andy. Is that Andy Jackson?
Yes, it is.
Glad you could be with us. Let's see. I see a PCAND on the identification. Tell us who you are. And I have a Rick. Well, I don't know who that is, but Philip Rux is on. And Stephen Goetz. Good to see you joining us. All right. Well, we may have some others come in. We had quite a response to this invitation. We've got about 30 people who had RSVP'd for this discussion. We had originally started using Zoom, quite frankly, as a last resort because we wanted an opportunity to gather growers of various varieties and have an opportunity to share information about things that were working, things that may not be working. You might need some input in various areas, and we really thought gathering up in person was the best way to do it, but we've actually found that this has been a more effective way to communicate. If you have to be mobile, you can be mobile and still participate. We've had calls with people using the mobile app on a phone or a tablet, actually showing photos from the field so other people can see. So it's really got a lot of versatility. And so I hope that this will be helpful to you. I tend to think that we'll continue to use this even after things gravitate to whatever the new normal is. But I would ask you, if you mute your line, if you're not speaking, that'll help us cut down on background noise, particularly if you're mobile. So we have several members of our research team. Dr. Reitnauer is on here, who we look to for a whole range of different things from post-harvest and food safety and training, so we're glad to have him with us. And Dr. Ed Stover from USDA, who also has had some exposure to Tango in some trials, so we're very glad to have him with us. We have Tim Williams from UCR, the home of the Tango. So Tim, we're very glad that you could join us on this call because you certainly have seen Tango growing in more places than anybody else has. So you may have some really good suggestions for us. We know we're not counting on you to give us all the answers, but any guidance that you can provide will be very much appreciated. I also see Jason Carlton just joined us. Good to see you, Jason.
So,
Peter, I think Chuck Allison is also on the call, but I don't see his name on the.
I don't either. Chuck, are you on?
His microphone must be muted because he told me he was on the call. He just sent me a message.
Okay, good, good. I'm glad you're on, Chuck. And also, I'll mention we do have the chat feature open. So if you're not familiar with Zoom and you take your cursor down to the bottom of your screen, you can click on that chat button
So if you're not in a situation where you can speak directly or choose not to, either way, feel free to use the chat feature. And I'll try to keep an eye on that and get any questions or answers or input that might show up on that end of the conversation. And that's also helpful if from time to time, if we're hitting at a particularly busy time for Zoom, sometimes we'll have the system get slow or drop out, and sometimes the chat feature keeps us going. So with that, I'm going to kind of lay out put a few comments out to kind of get the conversation started. And I'm sure that this isn't anything new to anybody, but you know, we've had Tango in the ground now for quite a while. Some of the trees are getting some age on them. All the original trees that we had produced went to the field on Clio. Since then, we've had Tango go to the field in a range of rootstocks, minor and major rootstocks, and some of our more recent rootstocks that have been shown to perform better in an HLB environment. Hey, Dealey, I just saw you on there. Good to see you. And with Tango, we continue to see the trees do reasonably well. They show HLB symptoms, but they just kind of keep right on cranking. I think if we nailed down some of our biggest struggles has been a long bloom, a prolonged bloom that really causes some challenge with fruit quality and with harvesting. Not uncommon, I think, for people to go through four or five times to harvest Tango in our climate. And color, peel color has been a considerable challenge, and it hasn't in all cases been seemingly related to cold. We've had some extraordinary color in some of our southern counties, so that's been a kind of a curiosity to me. But by and large, I think you'll find that with the participants who are on this call from the northern counties or Georgia, you know, they're getting pretty consistent strong color on Tango. So in you know, in those cases, kind of getting Florida size and California color. So I've seen some beautiful fruit up there. So I think those are the two primary challenges that we're having. We have communicated. I was hoping to get a couple guys on here from Queensland, but the time difference was really presenting a challenge. But we have had some guys come through from Queensland and look at some of the Tango plantings, and they had made some suggestions. One thing was to put it on pure trifoliate rootstock, try to slow it down a little bit. The other was to, as soon as we got the first good hard bloom, to jib it, try to stick as much of that fruit as possible right out of the gate. And then if a lot of that fruit sticks, perhaps it's not going to keep blooming after that. The tree will feel like it's set its crop. So those were two suggestions that they had for us. And certainly I'm interested in hearing how you're doing on other rootstocks. But before we kind of open things up, are there any other specific challenges with Tango that you'd like to get people thinking about before we get into the discussion? That's kind of the main deal. Okay. All right. Tim, you have obviously seen Tango all over the world. In the climates where you've seen it that have a heavy rainfall and more of a hot, humid climate, are their experiences kind of mirroring ours, where we're really struggling to achieve peel color? We can't continue to color them in the cooler like they can in a more Mediterranean climate. Have they done anything with either the use of rootstocks or any type of production practice that you thought made a difference?
Yeah, definitely, Peter. There's where we've seen it most in those warmer, more humid climates, where Queensland, like you mentioned, and we've been following their work quite a bit. And your point about the trifoliate is a big issue. They get color. They do get color. The others up in Limpopo area of South Africa, and they get color nicely up there as well. So most of those areas, there's a couple of things in Brazil that we're looking at, and some of the areas that are may not be ideal for tango, where there might be some things. But you know, we're looking basically at so many Mediterranean climates, you know, because the huge plantings are there, of course. But no, we haven't seen quite that, you know, the loss of color that you've expressed, or the lack of color, in some of those other more, you know, tropical, subtropical, borderline areas.
So it perhaps is a combination. Well, although we really saw the color problem before HLB was to the level that it is now. So I don't want to blame it all on HLB, but also had a note come in here on chat that Lobrix is kind of coming into the picture as another challenge, particularly on young trees. Now, the early Clio plantings, we were running really good Brix. I mean, 13 to 15. Really no complaints on that, but those trees came into bearing a little slower because they were on Clio. Can anybody comment on the trees that you're seeing low Brix on? Is that isolated to particular rootstocks, or is it kind of across the board right now? Chuck, are you able to speak to that? Are you on the phone?
Yeah. Peter, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, yes.
All right. So we had some early tangos we planted in 2012. We did both swingle and 812 rootstock, simply because we didn't know better. But we've, as the trees have matured more, I think the Brix, you know, we thought they were going to go up higher than what they are, but they're not. Really not that high of Brix levels. We don't always measure them, but with what we've seen the last couple of years, with a more uniform bloom and everything, we expected Brix to go up a little bit, and we have not experienced that.
Okay. And you are in what we used to consider the further north area before we started seeing some plantings up around the border counties. But in general, you get more chilling than in some other areas. But color has continued to be a challenge?
Color has definitely continued to be a challenge for us, although we feel we're getting a little bit better color. We're getting a much more uniform bloom and no as less off bloom as the trees mature. Okay. Get a little bit of feedback. But so, yes, the color is probably the most significant issue we face.
Okay.
Or lack of color.
All right. Peter,
I've got a question. Maybe some of the participants can address this. How are people in the first 4 years, three, 4 years after planting, are they pruning to keep them down inside, fill out that crown, or are they letting them go?
I have not seen a lot of pruning on these trees. We've got some production guys on here. Agdili or Paul or Jason, anybody care to speak to that? Chuck, or you also, have you done any? I see Steven saying they do prune very heavily. And I have another comment on multiple blooms, several crops on the tree at all times, and the trees are 8 years old and they're still doing that.
That's with pruning, with some heavy pruning, or?
No hand, he says no hand pruning, but heavy topping and hedging.
Yeah.
Is anybody on the call that has tried pruning? And I'm not trying to shut anybody up. I'm just going along muting calls that don't appear to be muted. So just unmute yourself if you're going to be speaking.
Hello, Peter.
Yes.
This is John Stevens. How you doing?
Hey, John.
Peter, we ran a crop this year that developed really good color. It did not have the puffiness. It was raised on a standard program, fertilizer spaced throughout the year. No pruning that I know of. The main difference, it was on 897.
Okay.
High bricks on the fruit. The fruit did seem to stay a little bit smaller, but tight, smooth skin. Completely different than every other Tango we looked at. And that was the only one that we saw on 897.
And what? Where were the bricks on those, John?
You know, they would range on your larger sizes from 1090 to mid 11s. Your smaller stuff would be in those high 12s, low 13s.
Okay.
How heavy a crop on those trees?
So how good was the crop?
Yes.
Probably 150 to 180 boxes to the acre. I'm not sure of the actual acreage.
Okay.
And those trees were how old?
I believe they were coming off either 5 or 6.
Okay.
They were definitely on sand. They were at elevation, and they were north of Polk County.
Okay.
And rootstock?
897.
897? Okay.
897.
And Stephen, you, if I recall correctly, you have Tango inside screen and outdoors, correct?
So we had Tango inside screen, and that's a screen that's no longer there. What we do have planted now in screen are W. Murcott, and those are only a 1-year-old.
Okay. All right. Is there anybody else on the line that has had any experience with hand pruning? Okay, I see Paula said they've not pruned the trees yet. The oldest that they have are 3.5 years old, so no pruning on those yet. And some of the other, I also see low bricks, low acid, and poor color on Kinkoji rootstock. Cody, I believe you're still on with us. When we went to look at the older planting, the Kennedy planting in St. Lucie, those were on Kinkoji, weren't they? We might have lost. No, I see him there. But I don't see audio. Cody, if you have you may not have your audio connected. So if you can hear, I don't know if you can hear me or not. Does anybody else on the line that had any experience with that original Kennedy planting? I think they were on Kinkoji, and the color was very good. And there you had a coastal area, warmer nights, pretty far south, and we had, those consistently colored up. So not every example of good color has been from cooler weather. Tim, with the use of pure trifoliate, I mean, I think we're going to be seeing smaller fruit size, but that was generating the color, and the internals were good.
Oh yeah, no. When you figure California here, most areas, the biggest planting's on C35, and then Carrizo, and then Tri, and all of those yield, you know, exceptional color and bricks. So the Tris are given the choice. Well, you know Tom Mulholland, and he swears by it, and I'd have to agree with him. If you can grow on Tri, grow on Tri. You know, if you've got the soils and that. Yields wonderful. We'll get 45 bins, 50 bins. I've seen that much. And that's on a 400 an acre planting. That's a tight planting with heavy pruning, trees 2.5 meters tall maximum. And they're dense plantings, and they yield fine. But you know, let me make a quick comment before I forget it here. We get second blooms as well here. So okay. that is a characteristic of W. Murcott's and Tango's. That's just characteristic. Warmer climates, in those warmer climates, I've seen flowering spread out like you were mentioning is happening in Florida.
Yeah, we'll have years where it will go from Christmas to March, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. So that's, you know, that's just a fact of life you have to live with. The issue about jibbing those things after that first good set is worthwhile in my estimation.
Okay.
I've seen it done in a few spots where it seems to work. Keeps that later lingering bloom at a minimum.
Okay. Well, that's, yeah, that in itself may be worthwhile. Ed Stover, I think you're still on. I don't see you right now, but what have you seen? What rootstocks do you have Tango on in the trial?
It was a single rootstock, and I believe it was 812. And really, my interest in this topic is primarily just understanding Tango within the context of all other mandarins.
Okay.
So I don't really have much to add.
Okay. All right. Gary England, I see you're on. Do you have anybody up in your area that is doing any trials or any commercial plantings with Tango?
Haven't run into too many, any significant plantings. Actually, I've been hearing more about it up in, like you say, up in the border counties and in South Georgia. I think Jake's getting ready to do some rootstock work, I think, up there. I'd have to look back at that evening.
Okay. I know one thing I keep hearing is leaving the fruit on the tree longer than we had originally intended. We had, you know, really viewed it more as a December fruit. We thought it would be considerably earlier than California in that regard, and we would be able to get it harvested in early December. But I think more and more we're seeing Tango hanging on the tree longer to try to let it achieve some natural color, since we haven't had any success in coloring it in the cooler. Can anybody comment as to the kind of the window on when you're having the most success harvesting this variety? Daniel and Dealey, are you all bringing anything into the packing house yet?
Hey, Peter, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I mean, this year we were probably a month later than we were last year. Our trees are, but maybe about 6-7 years old, Clio and X639. But ours didn't get bricks until almost late January, which not only was it a problem really for the timing versus California, but it also seemed like the fruit began to get pretty soft, especially larger sizes.
And was the Clio further behind than the other rootstock?
You know, I mean, we tried to see if we could find a difference as far as the bricks and how soon it came, but there wasn't anything significant as far as earlier higher bricks on either rootstock.
Okay. All right. Jason, what are you seeing that's working with Tango?
Peter, the ones we have are less than 2 years old, so we're just hoping to gain some knowledge.
Okay. All right. Philip Rux, you've got a good number of customers with Tango. You were one of the, if not the first nursery with Tango out the gate. What are you hearing from your customers? Phil, are you with us? I see another note that says we delivered fruit at the end of December to the packing house. Paul, can you comment on the color and the bricks on that fruit?
Peter, off the top of my head, I do not recall what the bricks level were, but it was a color pick that we did do, and we left a lot of fruit behind, and it, you know, hit the ground after that, and then we actually went back through and dropped a bunch of fruit on the ground to try to more uniformly have a fruit set for this upcoming year.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Do we have any other packers on here? I don't think so.
Hey, Peter.
Yes.
For our largest block of tangos, we were able to spot pick it in December. Bulk of the crop was picked in January, and then the remaining fruit on the tree, about 25%, never made bricks and hit the ground. The first two blooms both made bricks, and they were, you know, decent, 10 and a half to 11, but not even state maturity on the third.
The stuff that really never made it, was it, did it appear to be obviously greening affected fruit?
I think a high percentage of it was greening fruit.
Okay. Fernando, with work that you've been doing on color, are you seeing anything that looks promising that you might recommend to folks, or is it everything's kind of early and it's a little preliminary?
It's a little bit early. One of the things that I have seen, especially here in the south, in the southwest, is that they tend, as far as I've seen, they tend to mature externally really slow. So I have seen actually here in La Belle area trees with really good colored fruit by late December, early January. But again, the problem is the same. Bricks are really low in these cases, and fruit is really soft. So what we were trying is to accelerate coloration on the tree, and we were trying to do some applications with abscisic acid, and it was a little bit inconsistent. Sometimes it worked and it accelerated a little bit the coloration, but in other cases it did not. And probably what is happening is that the rate of coloration in the tree, because we have several blooms, the rate of coloration in the tree is not uniform. So some of these plant growth regulators, they work in a really narrow window of time. So if you miss that window, you don't have an effect. So in some cases you had an acceleration of color, but in some other cases not. So for this reason, anything that we can do in getting the blooming in a narrower window will be better. I know that this is probably a characteristic of the varieties. It was stated before, but if we can narrow a little bit the blooming, that will be better for on-field treatments to get better coloration and having the coloration earlier in the season. That's my feeling after, this is the second season actually that I've been working with this variety.
Okay, thank you. Question, Tim, you know, when I have seen Tango during various times of the year coming in out of the field in California and it goes in the cooler and finish off the color, how much color do you have to have on the peel? Is it a level of color that you have to achieve before that will work? Or do we just have too much moisture in the peel? What is your best guess as to why we can't have any success continuing to color in the cooler?
Well, the situation here is once they break at all, you can gas them and they'll get color. So, and then for us, that will be, I mean, if the point is if you could get them in November, you know, if you could get Burks and maturity and all that in November, the color would be there. You know, by certainly for us by early December, although we don't harvest until January.
Right.
You know? So, that warmth and humidity has got to play into this. There's no question. See, colors, the only thing where your harvest is based on two things. One, color clearly, and all that. And the second is acid dropping, because Brix is an issue for us, of course. You know, we'll, by early January, we're, you know, 12, 13 Brix. So we're just waiting for our acid to drop so that you'll hit at least a 10 to 1. But as far as color, yeah, you can stick them in there. They gas well. They gas very well.
I was thinking they were just doing them in chilling, but you're saying they're actually using ethylene.
You don't have to. That's the point. The thing is, by the time we're ready to harvest them for you know, good bricks and acid down 1-2 or thereabouts, they're colored.
Okay.
At most, you'll have a tiny little bit of stem end greening right there, although less so than W. Murcott.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, W. Murcott shows it a little worse, that stem end greening.
Right. On the
greening, greening disease.
for those people who have a soil that will work for pure trifoliate, are the trifoliates holding acid better as well? I may have locked up.
Interested in that answer?
Oh,
someone has it.
I'm sorry, say that one more time, Tim.
I would be interested in that question, the answer to that question you just posed, Peter.
Okay. The only places I know in Florida right now, I know Phil is making some trees for us that we're going to put out on rich trifoliate in Central Florida and see how they do. But can any of the folks that are in the northern counties who are growing Tango on trifoliate comment on the acid issue? I mean, I know that you're doing very well with color. Are you seeing a difference in the acid levels when you're using trifoliate? And Joe Franklin, I see you're on, or Andy, can either one of you speak to that?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how to work this thing. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can, Joe. Thanks.
Okay. I've only got about 50 trees, and of course, they're in a hoop house, so we do trim them every year.
Okay.
And they're about 6 years old. And, you know, I sell my fruit, you know, locally through a fruit stand, and I just go by bricks and color. I don't have a way to check acid. But okay. Normally it'll be the first week to the second week of January before I start marketing them, because I wait till they get 12 to 13 bricks. Okay. And they're on 16.6 is what they're on.
Okay. Thank you.
Andy, what are your tangos? What rootstock do you have them on? Are yours on trifoliate?
No, they're on the 897, and they really haven't. I've just had them a couple of years. They haven't really done anything yet.
Okay. All right, Jake Price, I believe you've got some tango potentially in a rootstock trial. Are you seeing any variation in the acid levels, or do you have enough fruit that you can measure that? Well, not able to get Jake there. Hold on just a second. Just gonna fire off a note here, be right back with you. Oh, they're just planted a couple weeks ago. Okay, I see that now. Okay.
Peter, I have a question. What's the latest anybody is harvesting up north? When's the last fruit coming off?
Up north, you said?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking it's going to be through February. Now, we have one gentleman I was hoping was going to be on here today that has tango in a U-pick scenario down in Hillsborough County, so pretty central but coastal. And he is harvesting from January 1st sometimes to April 1st. But he doesn't have to worry about shipping. So if they get a little bit soft, it's not that big of an issue. But what he has found is that the acid level, when you get into mid-January, starts down, but it levels out. And so the first couple of years, he got into a panic and started stripping fruit off. But then he found that it kind of went down and leveled out and held for a couple months. So he just kind of rides that and has done reasonably well with the variety. But his audience is a little more forgiving of color than if it were in the supermarket.
Well, that seems to be a characteristic, Peter, that acid does, you know, it'll drop off and that, but it does tend to level out. For us, you know, we'll see it. It's a steady, you know, drop and all this type of thing, but it's a fairly shallow drop at that. So the acids will stay up. You know, well, for us, of course, certainly later and so on. And that just, the fruit lasts. I mean, acid holds fruit. That's all there is to it.
Right, and, right.
You know, and the Brix continues, meanwhile, the Brix continues to increase. So you know, right. Our best fruit come off in March and April.
Yeah.
So no, that's right. So, but I'm curious on this fruit issue and all that. I have seen in northern South Africa, northern parts up in the Limpopo area and that, trees on both carrizo and trees that were on lemon-type rootstocks, various. You know, I've seen some on Volk and all that, and they still got good Brix out of them and decent acid. Huge trees. That's the biggest problem, but they seem to do okay. And they color. On Volk.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And they got the Brix.
Oh yeah, it was good fruit. It was for that area, I was surprised when I saw those trees. They were way better than I thought they would be.
Okay.
That's out of Malalong and, you know, near Kruger Park and that area up in there.
Right. So they're getting good amount of rainfall.
Yeah, clearly rain and definitely warm, humid, you know, so.
Interesting.
The one thing there, it does cool down.
Yeah.
You know, they get some cooling down there.
True. Phil, are you back with us? I think he got otherwise occupied. I see a note from Jake Price that their trial has Rubidoux 942, 812, US 1777, US 1279, US 1516, US 1282, UFR 6, UFR 17, and US 852 with 9 reps. So that really ought to be an interesting trial when it begins to produce.
Those are all young trees.
Yeah, I just planted. So that'll be fun to watch that one as it goes along. Is there anybody on? I see Pete Anderson now. Sorry, I didn't introduce you earlier. Thank you for joining us. Has anybody tried what Tim Williams was just describing? As far as I know, we have trees out on Carrizo, but anybody used any lemon rootstock with Tango? And if so, what kind of results did you get? I don't remember seeing any trees going out on lemon, but that's an interesting suggestion, Tim. I mean, if we're putting out the trifoliate, we might as well have a look at it on lemon and see what it does.
Well, side by side, and you know, trials. Mike's got trials, you know, rootstock trials with Tango in our climate here, and you know, plethora of different rootstocks, and so most of the tries and tri hybrids and all that work exceptionally well. The Volk, Schaub, those kinds of things that get stuck in trials. Some of the sours and all that. They're a little less in bricks. The Volk will be 2 bricks less than Carrizo, for instance.
Okay.
But it's a good piece of fruit. Still a good piece of fruit because the bricks is more than sufficient. Just not quite as rich tasting.
Sure.
Good size, larger fruit.
Okay.
Definitely larger fruit.
Let's see here. Is there anybody? I don't think Cody can hear us. Is there anybody else from the river? Ed, I don't know if you know this. Can the river soils tolerate pure trifoliate? I was thinking they were very intolerant of salinity.
I think the general expectation is that the trifoliate would be poorly adapted, but there may be certain areas where they would be more amenable.
Okay. All right. And Stephen, I believe you tried the, and Michelle, you may speak to this as well. You tried the cooler, trying to color them up in the cooler. Did you get any movement at all, or was it just minimal?
We did not have any success. We tried regular conventional degreening or cold degreening, and we were not successful.
Okay.
Same for us, Peter. We tried every combination you can imagine of cold alone, cold and hot combination, different durations, different concentrations of ethylene. Nothing. Nothing worked.
Did you talk sweet to it? That works. So.
Everything.
Either of the hunts that are on, I believe you also had them in the cooler. Did you see anything? I mean, anything promising out of that?
No, we've never had any success getting them to degrade. We've held them in the cooler for a little while. Now we don't have ethylene in the cooler, so I mean, we put a little gas bill and threw them in the cooler just to see if they follow over time, but there was really no movement.
Okay. And Mark Reitnauer, do you know if anybody in Florida has tried the cooler temperatures on the degreening, like a lemon type of a scenario on Tango? And if so, did it work?
Well, we did some work on going down to 70 degrees Fahrenheit, and what we would see is over time, if you go like a week, you can measure a better color eventually. Better orange color, but it's still not colored up well. That's why we were kind of giving up on that and seeing if we could do something pre-harvest with the Ethafon.
Yeah. And so if the Ethafon gives it a little bit of movement, it might finish off.
Yeah, so last year when we did it, we did it on a Tango, and we saw using 100 to 300 parts per million Ethafon. We did it a week before harvest, and we did see noticeable improvement of color development. We did it on Tango and on Vernia. And the benefit was all the before harvest. Once I got into a degreening room, both the non-treated and treated then degreened or changed color at the same rate. So all the benefit was before. We've been repeating those tests this year, and this year we found more sensitivity to the Ethafon than what we had before, especially early season. We think a lot of it was a temperature effect, because we were trying in this year to do a longer duration before harvest.
Okay.
And what we might have actually been seeing is that we would initially get a little bit of a color speed up, but then it would catch back up again with the control, and then may even be less likely to color after that. So I don't think we want to go way before harvest in doing an Ethafon treatment. Also, I don't think the sensitivity to Ethafon was just temperature related, because we did do some very late season January treatment, late what we normally do, and it still was a bit more sensitive. And I think it might be the formulation. We went to a different compound this year. It's the same on the label, it's the same concentration and all that, but there may be some sort of formulation in there that's affecting how fast the Ethafon or the ethylene is released. So we're going to go back and look at that previous formulation we used before.
Okay.
But it didn't work as well this year either. So we got a lot more fruit drop and leaf drop. And so it's not a treatment that we would do yet. We got to figure out the bugs. Like I said, last year looked very promising. We did not get the good results with the early applications this year. So we're going to go back to a short duration before harvest, check some of the formulations out for next year.
Okay.
Mark?
Yeah.
I've got a question for you. You mentioned 70 degrees when they went into storage?
We did 70 degrees, yeah. Yep.
Interesting. Yeah, you're familiar with us. Ours go in at 40.
Yeah, way down. Yeah. We tried what we call a cold shock, too. We tried 24 hours near zero, and that also had the same basic effect. Eventually, you might see some a benefit, but it still wasn't good color.
It's got to be that lack of cool number, especially, is having that huge effect, because that's what we count on. We count on November getting cold and that color comes and so on and so forth. So. Okay,
now
I'm curious about that. It's just
last season when we did our very last treatment and we had some more cold fronts come in, we saw much better color, natural color development, and the Ethafon didn't have as much of a benefit then.
Hmm.
But that was late. That was like late January, I think, for down here.
Yeah. Matt, are you seeing anything different than what you've heard on here so far?
Our trees are only 1 year old, so we don't have anything.
Okay. And what do you have them on?
942.
Okay. All of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Peter, a question. Are people getting bloom through the summer? Off bloom through the summer?
In our old block, we did not. But is there anybody on here that's experiencing a summer bloom with Tango? Doesn't sound like it. The latest I've seen,
a very early bloom with a bit of heat in January, February.
Yeah, we've seen them start up at Christmas, and typically, I mean, I think the latest I've ever seen them go into early March. I don't remember seeing any bloom after that. John Beckemar, what do you have going with Tango?
We've got about 30 that are 4 years old for U-pick. So after I go out and stand with the U-pickers and peel one for them and show them what they look like inside, they'll pick them.
But there, you got a lot of green on them.
Yep.
About what month? When are you harvesting those?
Well, I held them off in December thinking they would get oranger, so I finally turned them loose in January and had them start picking them.
Okay. All right. I see Daryl is on with it. Daryl, anything that you'd like to add to this? Oh, you're muted. Hold on a second.
How's that? Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay. I'm basically looking at an additional variety for my grove. I was pursuing the Tango, and I was curious to see what everybody else is running into, if this would be a good choice for me or not.
I see. Okay. In what area?
I'm in northern Florida. I'm in Madison County.
Okay. All right. Hold on a second. Cheryl, are you seeing anything in your area on Tango that you haven't heard on here thus far?
Hi there. I don't have Tango, and so that's why I was curious to see how it was performing up in this area. Okay. So I'm just listening in and trying to learn something.
Okay. All right. Not a problem. And Joshua, I don't think you have any in your area at this point, do you?
We just the trial with Jake. We're in the same office, so.
Okay. All right. I just saw a note from Pete Anderson. He's having audio issues. He said they have tangos between 5 and 10 years. Tangos between 5 and 10 years. Our 10-year-old tangos on swingle average about 200 pounds a tree. Fruit weight about 120 grams, bricks about 13, first ripe picking about Christmas, good fruit lasts until March and April, color develops by November. The major issue in North Florida is temperature below 25 degrees Fahrenheit, which we have not had lately. The only other rootstock that they have trees on it on Tango is 897. So that's a good report. Thank you for sending that.
That sounds like California.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Much more similar.
Those numbers are California kind of numbers.
I see another comment here says, yes, we did see bloom through the year. We had hoped the tree would self-regulate, but it all stuck. So the fruit is sticking from that off bloom.
Not good.
Another person asked about the operation in Hillsboro. That's Dooley Groves with the hoteling family. They're just outside of Ruskin. Let's see. Looking to see anybody else on here. If I have missed you and not called upon you and you've got any experience that you'd care to share, please speak up because I don't want to miss anybody. Okay. All right. Well, I will follow up with Cody as well. Cody's had a good bit of experience. Here's another note. We have roughly 900 trees in South Georgia. We have trouble with blooming before your last frost. Yeah. Okay. I can understand that. That will be a tricky part. I think we've about.
Peter, could Tim talk a little more about pruning before we get away from here?
Sure. Tim, with the pruning that you were talking about earlier, you were breaking up a little bit. So let's revisit that if we could. Are Are you talking about trying to establish structure on the tree or opening up the middle? What do you think is important in pruning?
Well, everything, pretty much everything commercially, you know, of any commercial size that's going in California is very high density. Like I say, it's 400 an acre and all that. So you have to prune. You have no choice.
Sure.
Otherwise, you got a hedge. And so it starts, you know, year two. Literally year two, you're forming that tree. And trials that I have had and then cooperated, both in cooperation with growers and some of our own, we actually limit crop by pruning because we want to, everything for us, of course, is fresh fruit. And we're keeping the quality up. So we're going to try to keep a not more than probably 60 kilo, no more than 50 pounds of tree, no more than that. And that way you can avoid a lot of alternate bearing and all that. Pruning helps with that a lot. You let a tree, Tango will alternate bear. It'll go into full alternate bearing if you don't do anything to it. It's like W. Murcott in that sense. So you've got to control it. You control it with pruning, harvesting them on time, things like that. Because we don't flower until mid-March. You know, sure. We're in week of March before we even flower.
So. Yeah, I've never seen Tango have an off year here. Has anybody experienced alternate bearing with Tango in a subtropical environment? Yeah, I'm not hearing from anybody, but I think that's one of the things we worried about was the tree was not going to get a rest.
Yeah.
Now, as far as timing on pruning, Tim, is it, do you prune right after harvest?
No. No. It often than not, well, late harvest, yeah. I mean, remember, we're harvesting up through April and all that. So, yes, May is our typical.
Yeah,
May is would be our typical time to do it. And they get pruned pretty hard. One of the things, Tango is not a dense crown tree, typically. You need to prune it to make it more dense. Protects the fruit from sun more and things like that. That's how we're looking at it. We're not opening up the tree like you're thinking. Okay. You know, the bee and things like that. That's just not done very much here. You've got to, they would prefer to keep a nice, fairly dense crown on that tree.
Okay.
And it does help. It definitely does help. But you have no choice. With those high density plantings, you have zero choice. You prune every year. You're pruning every year.
Yeah, just potentially muddying the water, but maybe relevant to this discussion. Ryan Atwood and I, with help from Nick Farinha, conducted a study on NAA thinning of W. Murcott, which may be applicable to Tango, where we found that it responded very nicely in terms of reducing the number of fruit per tree in the older trees that we were looking at, the ones that were most likely overcropping. So we reduce the number of fruit per tree without reducing the total yield. So just exactly what you would hope to do, which makes an alternate bearing.
Absolutely right, Ed. I mean, that is, I mean, the Tango blooms, certainly in California, just profusely and all that. You really need to limit, in our case, you need to limit the crop on the tree, ideally. Any of you that have, you've seen them, Peter, here, certainly, Ed, you've seen them. You get a Tango grow, it's just pure fruit. It looks like an orange tree. I mean, an orange colored tree because there's so much fruit on it. And it will not have that bigger crop the following year if you have that size crop on it in the current. So,
one question. And
pruning has a lot to do with that.
One question I got.
Remember, first year wood. I mean, you prune those things will push out and actually set, you know, almost right away. That's one of the things about Tango.
One question I got on text is if I prune it and reduce the number of fruit, am I running a risk of larger, puffier fruit in a subtropical climate?
I can't answer it in a subtropical climate, but we've done through, you know, thinning, hand thinning, pruning for thinning, and all that type of thing, and there was not an appreciable effect on fruit size in our climate here, in a Mediterranean climate. Didn't seem to make a lot of difference. There are people that go through and take off all the small fruit.
Okay.
Just get rid of it. They're prior market, surprising, baby cuties and things like that, but yeah, no, it doesn't appreciably increase size to thin that much.
I see another note. As far as tree vigor with HLB, I have 30 varieties, and the Tangos are the second best looking trees, with sugar bells being the first. But I've seen the same thing. The trees hang right in there. It's just, we need to
pretty high titers, as I understand, Peter.
Yeah.
It seems to be a tolerance factor.
Yeah.
Seems. Ed would know more about
it. They show plenty of symptom. They just keep right on going. But we just got to tackle this color. And we heard a number of people when we first started talking about low bricks. Is there anybody that's on the call towards Central Florida? I know several of the guys further north were not experiencing bricks issues. Anybody Central Florida and south that is getting good bricks? And if so, how old are the trees and on what rootstock? Because the highest bricks we were seeing in Central Florida historically was on Clio. But Clio had some other issues that kind of caused us to move away from it. And I was just curious if anybody had. If I'm hearing no comments, is everybody now in Central Florida experiencing lower bricks? It may be an HLB effect. Okay. Ben, your tangos are setting fruit in the screen up there. What kind of color are you getting?
You know, Peter, it varies. There's been some that we have that are just the bright orange color, and then there's some that have never really broke color. There's a slight hint of orange underneath it, but it's still pretty green. But now the quality is great.
And they're on sour?
One of them is on Troyer, and we've got, I think the most other ones are on Kenkoji, if I remember right.
Okay. All right. I see one name I haven't called on, and it looks like McClinkus. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right, but would you care to share your experience with Tango? All right. Don't know who that is. All right. Well, those are, folks, that's all the questions that we have on the table. But real quick before we go, because we do have Tim Williams with us, Tango is his baby. Are there any other questions for Tim before we sign off?
Yeah, Peter, Joe Frank, I'd like to ask him a question.
Yes, sir.
About the cold hardiness, what's the lowest temperature that he's experienced with tangos and the tree still surviving?
Well, remember in California, our temperatures start dropping. It depends on October for us. October can be a very warm month or it can be a cooler month, just depending. So, but by November, things are cooling down. So our trees gradually get hardened off. And the worst freezes damages we have in California always occur in early December. Our later freezes in January, by then the trees are pretty much hardened off. But I've seen tangos at 25 degrees that have hardened off because of much cooler fall weather and so forth, and get through it just fine. big issues. Remember, the sugar and all that in them makes a big difference in them, in that fruit. And so certainly by February, in California, it's pretty rare to get February freeze. So we're looking, our worst time would be late November, early December for fruit. And of course, their tango isn't even ready then. It can damage the fruit if it hasn't been hardened off pretty good. But night after night in the valley, Central Valley of California in January during harvest, you'll see, you know, anywhere at freezing down to 28, 27 degrees, and it doesn't affect the fruit at all. Makes for beautiful fruit, I'll tell you that. They are very beautifully colored. So, but yeah, they, it's a pretty tolerant tree. It's a pretty tolerant tree. It would be a hard freeze that had been preceded by a lot of warm weather that would really cause us a lot of problems.
Sure. Which sounds like a typical Florida freeze.
Yeah.
Really. So just a follow-up to a question Tim asked earlier. In our replicated trial, we did not find that there was a difference in the HLB pathogen titer between Sugar Bell, Tango, and Sweet Orange or Grapefruit. They all had very high titers. And yet, Tango and Sugar Bell were the two most tolerant varieties we had in this trial of eight or so rootstock cyan combinations.
And Ed, are the sugar bells showing a lot of leaf symptoms and everything, as even with the tolerant level of those trees?
Yeah, for some reason, sugar bell, much like lemons, appear to be among the most likely to show a strong blotchy mottle symptom. And one of the things we learned in that trial, and that everybody has learned since, is that blotchy mottle really is not a good indicator for tolerance. So sometimes among the more tolerant varieties will show the greatest levels of the blotchy mottle.
I agree.
Paul, can you speak to that? I see your note, but can you elaborate on that a little bit? Maybe we lost him. He might have had to jump off.
That, Peter, that comment that Paul has on Thule Fog does wonders for color, it absolutely does. You know, we have our Thule Fog at 33, 34 degrees. Oh, it does wonders for color.
Huh. Interesting.
Miserable to work in, but great for the fruit.
And here's a note from Pete Anderson. I don't know if you know him, Tim, but he's up in the Marianna Quincy area. He says cold tolerance of Tango appears to be decent, a little less than Sugar Bell. My guess is that mature, cold, hardened trees should withstand about 20 degrees Fahrenheit with little or no damage. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I've seen a tree that was full hardened off where we had a cold November, cold December, and in January we got 20s and 18s and all that. A lot of trees went just fine.
Okay.
That's pretty cool. Now that's with wind machines, of course.
Right.
They stir up the air a little bit. And at that temp, their wind machines aren't that effective.
Sure. Mark and Fernando, do you have any questions to put on the table before we sign off?
No more questions. Well, other questions and answers. I think we're still looking for answers for what we can do for the degreening of the color.
Right.
Now.
Yeah, that's...
Mark, let me ask Mark a real quick question while we're on the greening thing, just for my information. When the color breaks, is it a very pale orange color? I mean, is it just kind of, you know, that gradual progression to a darker, or does the color seem to be to break and then stay at that color, just expanding as the green goes away? Because that's curious.
Yeah, I think from what I've seen, it's more almost like a blotchy, orangey type color that it just doesn't get rid of the green. You'll still see some of the orange there. And as the color comes out, the green splotches go away more and more.
Yeah, because when ours breaks, we have some fairly intense color when it breaks. But it's like you explained, there's still a lot of green and it just goes away. The green goes away, but the color itself doesn't develop that much more in our situation. It comes off, when it develops color, it's got color. You know, it's got almost full color right away. So I'm sure that's the cooler temps in, like I say, in November, December. So I'm curious. I'm sorry,
Fernando, you had something? Fernando, did you have a question?
No, just following up on this, it is true what we see, and especially in the south of Florida is the interesting thing to me is that we have some parts of the fruit that are really deep orange, and some others they don't the green at all. So at the end you have a fruit that is not uniform, and probably that will have to do with chilling hours that we don't have here. But to me it's puzzling how even in that fruit you can have a part of the fruit that is really deep orange. That's very interesting.
It is.
Well, all right. One of the things, Peter, on the color issue is physiologically mature fruit will color better. The thing is, those late bloom, we get sometimes in California where we'll get some screwy late bloom in June, July, even August sometimes. That fruit will almost never color in the fall. A physiological maturity to color appropriately. That we do know. So those late bloom fruit, I'm not surprised they wouldn't color. Some of those don't color well.
Okay. All right. Yeah,
and I've seen that too. I mean that's it's so clear what the off bloom fruit is in the field. So we don't mess with those when we've been doing our experiments.
Well, I don't want to hold everybody any longer. I was trying to stick to an hour, but as long as there were questions and conversation, I didn't want to close it off. But I think we'll shut this one down. And I do appreciate everybody joining us, and especially all of you in the research community. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always helpful to get a dialogue going. We don't always have all the answers, but we're picking it up piece by piece by piece. So. Thank you very much. And thanks again, Tim, for taking the time to be with us this afternoon.
Of course, Peter.
Thanks, folks.
All right. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.